Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Hey, before we get to Troy, I know you found the Alexander Johnson play. Do you want to throw in your 2 cents on that?
Oh, man. Definitely ticky-tack. Don't think that it was deserving of a penalty. The problem is you hit a guy when his head was turned and his head was facing the line of scrimmage. He didn't know you were going to hit him. I get both sides of it. I see where you're coming from, but if I was in Alexander Johnson's shoes, I would feel like that's a BS call. I would.
I understand that from his perspective as well. I just know, because I go to these, or I had been going to these for years, the referees, when they come to training camp and they show the videos, and they tell you the rules that they're working on. I just know that over the years, this blindside sort of thing has been such a huge point of emphasis.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, they've been working on that for years. They've been kind of retweaking it. You know, it used to be like in offensive linemen, if you had a naked, you could kind of get that peel back block and just blindside a guy and just de-cleat him. It was like your favorite play of all of football as an O-lineman because you just had a free shot. They got rid of that, and over the years, they've just been slowly but surely finding ways to protect defenseless players.
They have. And I see the text line and they're like, hey, that could happen in my Pop Warner game. And I'm like, well, do NFL referees come to your Pop Warner, show you video of things you can't do, and it's been happening for the past 4 or 5 years?
My problem with it is, like, you know, if I'm Vic Fangio, I can't get mad at him. Like, he's being a physical, tough football player. He's trying to set the tone, you know? I get both sides of that one. It could go either way. That's a coin flip.
It could go either way. But if the referees see it, they're going to call it. So, I mean, I get it. It's football. You're tough. You're physical, all that. You just got to know what referees are going to call. And if they see that, I'm telling you, 100 times out of 100, they're going to throw a flag on that.
I don't know about 100 times out of 100.
Let's bring in Troy Rangan to the conversation, courtesy of Tranny Law. Hi, Troy. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you?
Well, we were talking about the Alexander Johnson penalty, and, you know, I get it. People don't like it, and they think it's dubious and questionable. I'm saying 100 out of 100 times referees are going to call it if they see that. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think it would be that certain. But, you know, it is the rule, and you, like you said, they've tried to legislate out violence in some ways with these crackbacks, with these blindside hits, with... And so you can't say that you weren't aware of it. It's just, you know, as Tyler said, it's a football play. Your instinct is to find someone and hit them and to try to, like, compartmentalize interception, wait, don't block that weight. Like, that's the part that's just hard. In theory, what they're doing makes sense, but in practicality, in the moment, as a player, because it's not a cheap shot. Like, if he has a cheap shot, you'd be like, okay, you know, that's obvious. It's a football play that's just been changed over the last several years to be ruled illegal. And certain guys, it's just to them, that's a natural thing to do. Seek out a guy and hit him on a turnover.
By the way, we are seeing, too, if you extend your arm, you could get an offensive pass interference call as well. We're seeing that as well. So you may gripe with it, as we did gripe about that stuff, but that's just the way it is in the NFL. That being said, Troy, were you there last night at the game?
Yeah, I was in the press box.
Tell us just about that. Like, what was it like being at that game with nobody there?
Yeah, it's different. It's odd. You know, it's not something I hope continues, certainly, through the season. But, you know, I went to the Rockies game, their first home game without fans, and it's similar. It's just this eerie silence. You hear things you've never heard before. They had 500 family and friends there, and then they had 1,000 cutouts. But in terms of the press box, we were all spread out. There was way fewer. I mean, I would say there's a third of the people that would normally be in a press box. So it's just like going to like a private screening or like a Hollywood, like someone's filming a movie and you're on the set. It doesn't feel real at times. But the quality of play, for the most part, I thought was decent. I thought it, throughout the NFL, frankly, it was. I saw penalties were down, holding calls 78%. You know that was a directive from the NFL. Don't, we're coming back for this. Don't be calling every little foul because it's just going to make it unwatchable. But it's just, for me, D-Mac, it's like being on a studio set watching like a performance, not an athletic event at times. It's just odd.
Well, Troy, the takeaway of the game for Broncos country is just the frustration with the clock management at the end of the game. And, you know, we got rid of Mitch Tanny, who had a microphone, and he had the ability to chirp in the middle of the game and give his opinion. And the team tried to kind of sell us on it was addition by subtraction with Tanny, because they brought in multiple people to be in analytics, and now we've got a whole department that is dedicated to it. But is there anybody on game day that is physically able to speak into a microphone and give their opinion on analytics in the game to Coach Fangio?
Yeah, I mean, Coach Fangio said it's plural. The coaches are talking to him and communicating that it was his fault. It wasn't on them. He got caught up in coaching the defense and just didn't call the timeout. I mean, last night I asked him about it, and he was like, well, they were going out of bounds, and they stopped the clock. And it's like, wait. It was the 40 seconds you let go after the Henry run. And there's people, I guarantee there were people in his ear, Tyler. I don't know specifically, but somebody was in his ear saying, call timeout. I mean, it was obvious to everyone. And my phone was blowing up with texts, including from high school coaches, like, what is happening? You know, and it's just, it's forgivable, but it's inexcusable. For a team that has no margin for error, we've talked about this. You know, it used to be special teams. They would sabotage them if everything else went right. You can't have your coach be part of the problem. Like, it just can't happen if you're trying to get over the hump. And if, especially for a guy who, in Vic Fangio, is death by inches, and every detail matters. And it, you just, for me, one or two things have to happen. They need someone specifically designated to talk to him about clock management at the end of quarters, end of half, whatever, end of game. Or Ed Donatil needs to call the signals at times, and Vic needs to manage the game. It can't be easy. It can't have this happen again.
How is Vic Fangio not the expert on game management? Who else should be the expert on game management besides the head coach?
Well, I'm saying he's saying he lost track because he's calling his defense. So if that's his purpose, is he wants to focus on his defense,
then why is he the head coach?
Shermer or Munchak or Donatel has to be clock management. But that's the point. Like, then if he isn't in charge of the clock and it's more focused on defense, then what are we doing? You know, and is he the defensive coordinator or the head coach? And those are things they need to resolve.
By the way, how many years has Donatel been with Fangio?
I mean, at least a dozen. So, I mean, they've been together a long time.
So that to me is a pretty good apprenticeship. So you mean to tell me, after being together with each other for over a decade, Ed Donatel doesn't know what defense Fangio would call in certain situations? It is clearly time to pass the reins, Troy,
no,
Tyler.
I mean, not at that point. I mean, I understand if you want to let an assistant coach take over the reins, but not when the game's on the line. I mean, if you're the coordinator, But here's the question I've got, Troy. It feels to me like Coach Fangio still feels like being a head coach gets in the way of being a coordinator. Do you feel that?
Oh, there's no question at times. It's just not natural for him. You know, there's certain guys we covered that want to be head coach, and they feel like they just, you know, pay attention to the other details. In Vic's case, it feels like he's the defensive coordinator acting as the head coach at times. At some point, that has to change. I mean, it's just, if you're the head coach, you have to be the guy where that decision rests. And last night, it spoke to the fact that he was so focused on his defense that he really didn't understand the framing of the questions post-game that were, you know, it was like, man, why didn't you stop the clock? And he kind of looked at it as like, well, they stopped the clock on their own. And I was like, wait, what? Right. Like, you let 40 seconds go away with McManus that you could have easily had a chance to kick a 55, 60-yarder. No doubt, in my mind, if they would have gotten the ball with 40 seconds, they would have had a chance to win it. Now, that's not the only reason they lost, but rookie mistakes like Jerry Jeudy, those happen. Drew Locke not being perfect, that happens.
Right.
Vic Fangio doesn't have that luxury of making the kind of mistake he made. For me, that can't happen.
Well, the problem is what we saw is that this team is just not good enough to overcome mistakes like this. And that truly was a team loss. Vic Fangio was a huge part of that loss. Pat Shurmur, huge part of that loss. With the shovel pass on fourth and goal, with your clock management in a 4 minute period. Drew Locke, you know, not eating up every single second that is on that clock. That's on Drew Locke. Everybody had their role in this. I think what it feels like to me, though, is that this team is just got to have everything. It is going to have to go perfect for them to win games.
Well, again, that's the issue. That's what we saw last year. It's like they're always vulnerable to one bad call or one mistake where you look back, oh, man, if it weren't for that, because they never lead. They never have a 13-point lead going into the fourth. It's always 3 points one way or the other, seven. And so every mistake is amplified from a Garrett Bowles hold to a coaching mistake to a missed pass or, in Judy's case, a drop pass. That's why the issue is, you know, that you just don't have the luxury of making mistakes. What hurt about this, though, let's be honest, guys, is they got 10 points given to them, gift-wrapped by the Titans. I mean, that's why you feel like, how do you not win that game? The Titans are like, please take this. Just please take it. And then when they have the opportunity to steal it away, Vic ends up keeping the timeouts like he's giving them away for his Secret Santa gifts. I mean, it made no sense. Like, I literally was watching it. I'm like, what is happening? Why are they not stopping the clock? I mean, at some point, you have to have time when you get the ball back. So, again, it was just, I saw that game last year. It was Indianapolis. I saw that game last year. It was Jacksonville. I saw that game last year. It was Chicago. You know, that's what made it disheartening is, like, we've seen this movie before, and none of us wanted to go back to the cinema for it.
Give us a final score, Game 7 tonight.
Yeah, I'm going with Nuggets, but because everything is on the line for the Clippers, including a tiny smidge of Kawhi's legacy. Mm-hmm. It'd be a huge disappointment. So a score, I mean, for me, they got to keep it, you know, around that low 100s, like 102, 98-ish, 103, 100. Like, I don't want to see them get a shootout. I just don't think, because the Clippers, that they benefit from that, oddly enough. But they've exposed Montrezl Harrell, and if Joker gets to 30-10, the Nuggets are moving on to the Western Conference Finals.
That is Troy Rank.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.